In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So 2 weeks back, we had the gospel lesson on the two greatest commandments, namely, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And its companion, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I want to look at this one again briefly because it has a profound connection to today's gospel lesson. Love your neighbor as yourself is often misinterpreted to mean love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. But as we noted 2 weeks ago, that's not what it means. That could be a really foggy standard, right? How much I love myself can change. How much I love myself can be lacking. It can be dysfunctional. To love my neighbor as much as I love myself is a very woolly standard, and it's not what the phrase means. To love your neighbor as yourself means to love your neighbor as you yourself are loved, as much as you yourself are loved by God. You are loved with a crazy, infinite amount of love, and that's the standard by which we are called to love our neighbor. And when you think about it, it's the only thing that makes sense, that the standard is not how much I love, but how much God loves, which is more love than love itself can even imagine. So today in the gospel, we also get two interesting and complementary commandments. The first is what we commonly call the golden rule. Jesus says, whatever you want other people to do to you, do also to them. Or it's more common wording today, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. We've all heard this rule, right, a thousand times, even since childhood. We teach our children this rule. It's not specifically religious, so it can even be taught in public schools. And it has a noble quality to it. You know how you like to be treated, with kindness, with compassion, with patience, with love. Treat others the same way. If you make a mistake while you're driving and you accidentally cut someone off and they avoid the accident, you like it when they're patient, when they're forgiving. You give them the sheepish wave and say you're sorry through the window, and you hope that they are going to be gracious. Well, the golden rule says that if someone cuts you off and you barely avoid the accident, you should be patient and forgiving with them. When this happens, right, everyone is golden. Couple of things about this golden rule. Jesus spoke it, but he did not invent it. It was a common rabbinical teaching in ancient Israel. Rabbinical simply meaning the rabbis. Their pastors taught it. Even by Jesus' time, the golden rule was already an old saying. So when Jesus says it, he's quoting. He's quoting. He's quoting a common, well-known, popular morality. And now Jesus says this during his Sermon on the Plain, where he reorients and magnifies a lot of Old Testament sayings, where Jesus says, you've heard X, but I'm telling you it's a lot bigger than X. You've heard X, I'm telling you it's X squared. So when Jesus quotes the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you can imagine him using air quotes, because he's quoting. He says, do unto others, yes, but, and then he's going to magnify it. He's going to say, but it's actually bigger than that. It's actually much bigger than that. St. Cyril of Alexandria calls the golden rule a minimum of Christian virtue. He says, it's but the first step on the perfect path. The first step. First step, by the way, is why we teach it to kids, right? It's understandable, it's relatable, it gets kids started in thinking beyond themselves. So keep teaching children the golden rule. You have to crawl before you can walk. But for teens and adults, we can walk, at least most of the time. The proof that St. Cyril is correct in his claim that do unto others as you would have them do unto you is a minimum is that after quoting it, Jesus immediately questions it. He quotes it and then questions it. He overrules it. He magnifies it. Jesus said with his implied air quotes, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." The next word Jesus says is "but." But. You don't say "but" if you fully agree with something. You say "but" when you're going to change something, when there's something lacking or something wrong or something missing, that's when you say "but." So Jesus says, "Do unto others as you would want them do unto you, but." And here Jesus questions it. He says, "But if you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? If you do good only to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you?" Even people way off the mark act like that. So why does Jesus see the golden rule as lacking? It's because we are capable of something much more glorious. The golden rule has the same problem we get when we misinterpret love your neighbor as yourself. When we misinterpret that to mean love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, you become the standard of virtue. It's based on how much you love, and that's why it's a misinterpretation. The real interpretation is to love your neighbor as you yourself are loved, so that God becomes the standard of virtue. And that's why, figuratively speaking, Jesus uses air quotes around the golden rule here. In the golden rule, who's the standard of virtue? You are. You are. It's do unto others as you want them to do unto you. That's why it's a first step. That's why it's a first step. And that's why we can imagine Jesus using those air quotes. He says, "But hold on. That's a good start, but it's not the perfect path. The perfect path is to love and do good regardless of what you want. We love and do good because of who God is, not because of what you want." And Jesus says, if you love and do good because of who God is, then you will be children of the Most High. And here he's leading up to his big conclusion. This is what he's getting to, his real standard. Jesus says, God is kind to the ungrateful, the evil, and the selfish. Therefore, and we get to his word, therefore. He has the golden rule, and he says, but we got these problems, therefore. Now here's what he's really getting at. And he gives us the new rule. He says, therefore, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. That's the perfect path. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Notice, I am no longer the standard. I'm not longer the standard of virtue like I was in the golden rule. And just like in the proper interpretation of love your neighbor as you yourself are loved, God's love is the standard in Christ's rule. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. That's the real golden rule, and no air quotes needed. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Now, by all means, please do keep teaching your children the golden rule. Do unto others. St. Cyril calls it good. He says it's a good first step. And if you're anything like me, even as adults, you may need to go back to step one once in a while. You know, when your emotions get the best of you. That's okay. But let's not stay there. Let's not stay there at step one. A standard of virtue based on what I want is a very foggy path. The perfect path is when the standard is God's love. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Amen.